Greetings and welcome to Thirsty Thursday. Here we are. I hope you are doing well and thriving out there in this great big world. Well, today we're going to take a look at John chapter 14, verses 8 through 17. But we're also going to take a look at Acts 2, verses 1 through 21. We're going to dance between those two, as there's a lot that we can glean from these scriptures and take up with and live out of. So, starting with John 14, I'm going to read that text to you again. We're here because we're thirsty. Thirsty for God's word, for God's way of life that produces life, a way that blesses within, but also moves us outward into the world with purposeful action in living our faith. So here we are, John 14. Beginning with verse 8, here are the words. It says, Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied. Jesus said to him, Have I been with you all of this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe me because of the works themselves. Very truly I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it. The word of the Lord, according to the Gospel of John here in chapter 14. Well, I want to remind you, in John 14, we have the title of that section could be described as Jesus is the way to the Father. And that Jesus is opening and connecting, purposefully drawing together in a oneness kind of way. So Jesus points to the Father points to Jesus, the Spirit is involved in this connection. Again, we talk about the Trinity, but there is a shared relationship, a symbiotic relationship. Everything is flowing one into the other through each other and unifying each other. And Jesus wants to move these disciples, those first followers, from this time of understanding where Jesus said he was God, or that God was in him. That's one of the things that got him crucified, because people could not make the switch in their mind between what it means to be monotheistic or having one God. Now Jesus is saying he's God, so there's another God, and that was outside what was accepted. So the confusion, but Jesus is really clear that there is a unity or connection, that they are one. I think he was drawing that case to say, no, I'm not talking about a separate thing. I'm not separate from the Father. I'm not separate from the Spirit. They're not separate from me, but God's life is continuing to be brought forth through all of them together. And so the mind has to expand out here, a bigger circle, a bigger way of understanding of who Jesus is. And he wants to say, if you want to know God, then look at me. Look what I live out. Look at the stories I tell. Look at the ways that I bring life to others. So if you've seen me, then you know God. You don't have to sit back anymore wondering who God is. What is God like? What God is going to do? Just look at the life of Jesus. And the word for me is so powerful today that I want to give to you, that I hope you can walk around with on this Thirsty Thursday, is that word dwell. Dwell. What does it mean for you to dwell in Jesus? Or what does it mean for Jesus to indwell within you? Okay, what does it mean for you to dwell in Jesus, or for Jesus to indwell with you? I think there's a purposeful move here to understanding that we are part of that same body. that our bodies are not separate from God, that we don't have to go search for God elsewhere, but that God is within, that Jesus is within, that the Spirit is within. And so Jesus will make that move to saying, you know, you've seen me do some meaningful stuff, some meaningful work, but guess what? You too are going to do meaningful work, meaningful stuff, going as far to say, you will do even greater works than me. And a lot of us, when we hear that, we want to say, oh, no, 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 no. We could never do more than Jesus. Or our eyes would be, you know, focused in the wrong direction. We'd say, we need to do it versus God is going to do it. But what if we were to reflect that God is not functioning apart from humanity? And that humanity is not functioning apart from God? There is indwelling. And that is a beautiful thing. So we've been looking at this Gospel of John here in the previous weeks, going through all kinds of the stories, chapter 10, 13, 14, 17, back to 14, then to 16, then 8 and 9. We're going to be going through all of these stories. And in these chapters 13 through 17, Jesus is really providing his disciples again with those instructions, his final instructions for what it means to be the Jesus community. And this week's text is matched up with the passage from Pentecost, where we're hearing that the Holy Spirit is being gifted to these disciples. And that Spirit is going to show them Jesus, show them God. And Jesus here with Philip is a bit indignant in his reply, saying that you've been seeing the Father through me. And he goes on to imply that the world is going to see the Father and Jesus through what? The church or the Jesus community. Jesus, again, taking another step, drawing people further, moving people in a missional direction. The world will see the Father and Jesus through the church or the Jesus community. And the Holy Spirit is the one that's going to be the connector, the counselor, the supporter for the work of Jesus through the church in the world. I'm going to say that last sentence again. The Holy Spirit is going to serve as the connector, the counselor, the supporter for the work of Jesus through the church in the world. And so if you flip to Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 21, the church celebrates this season called Pentecost or the Day of Pentecost. And it's where Jesus intentionally and the church intentionally experiences that gifting of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus is pointing to it when he said, I'm going to give you this one, this advocate who will be with you. You won't be orphaned. And now the coming of the Holy Spirit's when they're gathered in one place. And it says there in chapter 2 that there was a wind, there was something that filled that room, there was divided tongues as fire among them. And it says that all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in languages as the Spirit gave them ability. And as they were gathered in this place, people were bewildered and amazed and astonished. They couldn't quite figure out how all these people from all these different places with their own native languages could be in one place and having the same Spirit-filled experiences. So all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, what does it mean? What does it mean that this is happening? But Peter was there in the crowd. And he raised his voice and he addressed them. And he said, men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. These people aren't drunk. It's 9 o'clock in the morning. But this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. Again, reaching backwards in order to pull people forward from the prophet Joel. He said, in the last days, it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon the slaves, both men and women in those days, I'll pour out my Spirit, and they shall all prophesy. And he goes on from there, unpacking that for them, where they had glad and generous hearts, where their flesh and mind and soul was caught up in this new thing that God was doing again. The Holy Spirit serving as the connector, the counselor, and the supporter for the work of Jesus through the church and the world. So God is with us, in us, and around us all the time. I really believe that. The scriptures point to that. God is with us, in us, and around us all the time. We usually are not aware of God's presence, however. We are too forgetful. Our eyes are not focused on that. We're maybe too busy, maybe too distracted. All of those things have so many important things to do. We may not know or sense that awareness of God's presence. And so Jesus here wants to call us to tune our hearts and minds to see, hear, and experience the presence of God in our midst. How holy and sacred is it when communities, groupings of people gather, and they can articulate, they can sense, they can feel that God's Spirit is here in this place, that God's love is here in this place. I still think that is the primary experience of what we are to take away from worship. We come to give God our hearts, our minds, our souls in worship, to be open to God's word and the liturgy and the music and the meal as a representation of the full body on earth when we get scattered and sent back out. But as we do that, again, we are to be aware and to sense and to know of God being in all the places that we are. And I'm convinced that the world cannot see or experience God because they don't know God or what it means for God to be present, right? We got all these different definitions or meanings or understandings, and so it can be really, really hard to do that. But the church stands there as the visible and tangible presence of God in the world, right? And so when we say God's heart, our hands, grace, and action, we're saying all of what we do is in God's heart, and our body is moving and having our being into Christ, into God, into the Spirit. And that grace then flows in energy and in communal ways. This is how people come to experience God's kingdom of life and love. That's really important to also know that none of us, of course, has the capacity to be, quote, God or Jesus on our own. But each of us are a part of that full body of Christ. I think one of the hardships that we've experienced is when people are stepping away or outside of community, not drawing together back into community in meaningful ways. One of the sad parts is that people don't understand that they are the missing piece, the missing puzzle piece to God's activity in the community and in the world. They don't see themselves as a source of inspiration or hope for those who do gather and the impact that has. Each of us is an important part of that body of Christ. And that Holy Spirit that flows among us is the source of Jesus' energy, connecting us to God and to one another, and utilizing our gifts for Jesus' purpose and mission in the world. When we see, when we separate ourselves from the body, we block the flow of the Holy Spirit and we lose sight of Jesus. But good news is the Holy Spirit's going to move and have her being among us even when we seek to block it, even when we stumble and fall, even when we miss it. And so I love it when our eyes and minds and hearts are again opened up to the ahas. God is here in this place. God is here in these people. God is in this moment in time, carrying us through, drawing us together. So a few questions here to dig a little bit deeper for you, maybe in journaling or a takeaway or meditation. Philip's question to Jesus assumed that Jesus and the Father were not one, but they were separate, as we've talked about. Well, our world assumes that we each stand individually independent from one another as well. But Jesus reveals that just as he and the Father are one, we are united as one too. So just as Philip assumed that Jesus and the Father were not one but separate, we too understand ourselves as individually independent from one another. But what if this is the day and this is the time and this is the place that we begin to understand that we are not individually independent from one another? that we are drawn and held, that we are forever to be connected in that way. What a beautiful way of understanding life and into community and how to take on the challenge or the problems of the world. You might get a kick out of this or laugh at me here, but this last weekend I spent some time. We have a really small garage, tightly packed kind of space, and the lights in that area were failing. The old hookups and the light banisters that were there, they were all pretty much rotted out, and the light bulbs wouldn't hook in very well. And so I decided to take those down and to go to Lowe's and to get a different unit to put up there. And when I was standing there in the aisle of Lowe's, I saw these lights that it said you could literally easily connect one to the next. Once you hardwired the one in, or even if you wanted to just plug in a light, you could still connect the pieces, and with this really simple connector piece, the lights would come on. You didn't have to wire all of them together. And I thought, that's just too good to be true. That seems impossible. I've never really seen that. And so I go to Lowe's, and I again stand in that aisle, and I look over everything, and I see the ones I finally want, and I buy two of them, and I bring them home, and I take the old one down, and I put the new one up, get it all hardwired, snap it into place, and ta-da, oh, beautiful light. First time that space has been lit up that I can actually see the tools and the things that I have there. Well, then I went to put up the second light, and all I needed to do was take out this one small plastic piece, and it was a three-pronged piece. It was plastic, however, but it looked like the Trinity, the symbol of the Trinity, God, Jesus, and Spirit. And you simply plug that on one side, and when you hung up the other light, you hook that together and turn the light switch on, and ta-da, it lit up. They both lit up. Within seconds, the job was done with this piece that looked like a Trinitarian symbol. And I got a kick out of it as pastor, of course, that here we are. You know, one light is good. Two lights in that space were better. But all it took was one small connector piece to make that possible. That's what the Holy Spirit is for us. That's what Jesus is pointing to. That these three in one, this way of being in the world, makes us a complete body. And so how can you live with your light hardwired maybe to the Father, or even now in all the ways that we understand electricity and energy, but that we're connected, and then your connection to somebody else brings even a brighter light and allows them to light up. So we know the Father is our source. Jesus is our source. The Spirit is our source. And we want to be plugged into that, fully connected, so that we truly can experience this grace in action because of God's heart in our hands. And so, church, today, think about these amazing works that Jesus is calling us to. It's not my line. He said it. You will do even greater works than I have done. Yes, Jesus says you will do even greater works than I have done. Think about all that Jesus has done, both with the disciples and our scriptures and throughout human history. And then just imagine the works, the amazing works that are yet to come because of God's Spirit of life and love that's been poured into you. May that Spirit flow through you and around you as we connect, as we love, and as we serve. So stay thirsty, my friends. Stay connected and just watch how God will bring life to our world. Good day.